Welcome to the Snow Fighters Institute podcast, coming from some of the most interesting people in the professional snow and ice management industry. To learn about their successes, to hear about the challenges they've faced along the way, and to have their perspective on critical issues facing our industry today. Before we get started, I'd like to invite you to follow our social media feeds and to check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com. Please welcome your host, Phil Harwood.
All right. Well, I am super excited to be having this conversation today with Lisa Rose from the Allen Rose Consulting Group in Erie, Pennsylvania. And so thank you, Lisa, so much for being our guest today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So we have to talk about snowfall. So let's talk about Erie, Pennsylvania, because everyone hears the crazy stories about Erie. So I looked it up. The average, I don't know if this website was accurate or not. I should have went to WeatherWorks, but I didn't. About 100 inches. Last winter was about half, so that probably wasn't great for some contractors. Probably really great for those who had seasonal contracts. But obviously, Erie can get pounded, right? Like 300. Like what's the biggest snowfall total you've ever seen there? And are you a native of Erie?
Actually, yes, I am. I only spent about 5 or 6 years outside of Erie. I was still in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, PA. But I've spent the rest of my life here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And yes, the snowfall average can be anywhere between 100 and 300 inches of snow. I know that's a very wide variance. Obviously, global warming has had an impact. So we don't get the winters now like we had in the past. And you mentioned that, in fact, by only having about half of that this past season. So probably the largest snowfall ever in Erie, Pennsylvania was back, I think it was 2018, winter of 2018. It started snowing basically on Christmas Eve, and it didn't stop until the beginning of the year, and we got approximately 7 feet of snow. Let me just say that again, 7 feet of snow. That was nothing.
Starting Christmas Eve. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it actually almost worked to the advantage of those clearing snow because schools were closed. You know, a lot of people were traveling, but at the same time, you had the option to stay off of the roads. And that, I believe, made a major impact on the quality and the availability of clearing.
Right, right. But yeah. Still, 7 feet. Okay, that's just a lot.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. So we got that out of the way because that's the elephant in the room. That's what everyone wants to know about. How much snow do you get there? You know?
Yeah. I mean, Erie is, it is interesting. It's similar to Buffalo. I mean, everyone heard the stories like last year and a couple years back. We're pretty close to the same weather as Buffalo. Erie is situated about 2 hours drive time from Cleveland, Ohio, 2 hours drive time from Buffalo, New York, and 2 hours time from Pittsburgh. So that just kind of gives you an idea of where we are. We're centrally located and we're right on Lake Erie. So yes, we get lake effect snow, and we talk about up on the hill or by I-90, we get a different snowfall rate than we do right along the lakeshore. So there's a lot of nuances that the contractors specifically here have to deal with.
Yeah, we get some lake effect too. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think most of our listeners know that. So yeah, that cold air comes over the warm water, it picks up moisture and it just dumps. And so it's not, there's no system. It's not like some big giant storm came over from, you know, the Pacific and came across the country. We've been watching it for 3 days. This is like just almost like just manufactured snowfall. And you know, what I've seen, and I'm interested to know if it plays out this way in Erie, is here in Michigan, it's very unpredictable about where that lake effect snow is going to hit. I mean, generally, we know where it is. You know, it's going to come in these areas, but specifically, you know, it seems like it'll dump, you know, significant amounts of snow just for a long period of time in almost the same place over and over again. But it won't be the same place every time. So it moves around. So it's kind of unpredictable. Elevation does matter, like you talked about, like up on the hill and that type of thing. But are there certain areas like, oh yeah, that place right there is always going to get 300, and over here it's always going to be half that?
No, generally speaking, it varies, you know, snowfall to snowfall. But yeah, I mean, from the standpoint that along the lakeshore, we tend to get a little less. And then, you know, there's the snow belt area that we do deal with, Edinburgh, some of the towns that local people would know. I don't know. It just in Erie, just like Buffalo, as I mentioned, we just have to be ready no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's not unusual for things to be predicted, and nothing against any of my weather buds, but you know, you can predict the best that you can. You might think when you go to bed, for those of us who go to bed at night, that you're getting 3, maybe 4 inches, and then you wake up to 8 to 12. So mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. That's the way we know that it is here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we're just already always ready to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it needs to be.
So I have to ask, because, you know, just some. I love this question, but you know, when you were growing up, like, did you just instinctively love snow? Like every time it snowed, like, oh my God, it snowed. It's so great. We're going to have a great time. Or did you go, I can't stand this?
No, the memories of that, of course, were, do you get the day off from school? That was the most mm-hmm. important thing. And
of course,
it happened very rarely here because, as we just talked about, we're used to snow and we're ready for snow. So it usually would be very cold temperatures or, you know, high winds creating a chill factor that would create a cancellation of school. But yeah, I used to really like winter. I say used to in a different way because we always played outside. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say what my age is, but I grew up in the day where kids went outside for the day and mm-hmm. that included winter.
Well, and you know, so I did too. Yeah.
We would build, like my girlfriends and I, we'd build these homes. We had like the Powerpuff Inn because we would literally start in the drift where it occurred mm-hmm. in our houses, and we'd start making rooms and we'd ice them over, and we'd have our own little inn the entire winter season. It was That's so awesome. Fun, super cool, lots of sled riding. So yeah, I really loved it as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, you have a fascinating background. I'm obviously itching to hear about your consulting work, but I want to kind of go back because you had some really interesting things that you've done before, even worked for a federal judge. I'm really interested to hear about that. Maybe no one else is on this, but I'd love to, maybe that's something else that we talk about another time. But no, I'm really interested to know what your background was and how you went from that legal background into the snow business, or maybe it was you started in snow or then went there and came back. Walk us through it, like, because those are two different, very disconnected things.
Yeah, I think the really cool thing about what I'm doing now is I'm incorporating all of my background together, which are two worlds, as you said, that don't seem to make sense to come together. But interesting how life takes us in certain directions and how it can benefit us in certain ways. So I went to college actually to be a stenographer, and that is the person, everybody's probably seen it on TV. They're sitting in a courtroom, mostly on TV, but there are depositions and arbitrations, some legal terms for you there. And that's the person who sits with the little machine and records everything everyone says in the room, unless it's officially off of the record, has to be recorded by the stenographer. So I did that freelance. I did not work in the court system, which means I did more arbitrations and depositions. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to Erie. I did at that time work for a federal judge. It was a unique situation. Older judge, and he knew he was going to retire. His secretary retired, so they were just looking for someone sort of temporarily. And I moved into that role because I had a legal background. And at the same time, I also started working for a local snowplow company. It was a landscape snowplow company here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And as we talked about, the weather back then was more consistent. It was cold day after day and more snowfall. And this is before there were cell phones. Mm-hmm. So we have to get that into perspective because I started dispatching. That's how you had to communicate the drivers, the crews, the sidewalk crews. That's how everyone communicated.
I remember. Yeah, you had CB radio, basically, yes, if you were lucky.
That's right. That's right. And so because there were so many days in a row where service needed to be performed, whether it's plowing and de-icing or just, you know, salt application or calcium application, the dispatcher needed a break, right? So I started coming in as relief so that the dispatcher could get some sleep. You can rotate through drivers sometimes, but when you have one dispatcher who always is central location, that person never gets a break, right?
Oh, I think we've all lived that.
Yeah. And yeah, things have also changed that we realize running ourselves, you know, 36 hours nonstop is just not the way to go. It's not safe. And it's not even good for internal operations either. Mm-hmm. So that's actually how I started. I was doing part-time as a dispatcher, which grew into, hey, you know, when guys break down, I need to know who has what equipment so I know where to move them around. So that led to, gosh, I guess I should know more about these sites. So I started visiting sites. That turned into learning where to put snow, plowing snow, sidewalk crew.
Or you know it, you're the expert. Yeah.
It's right. Just, you know how it is. You start with one hat in the business, and it was a smaller business at the time. And it just grew. And I also did landscaping. I ordered plants and I unloaded plants from the trucks and working in the mud and the rain. So I've done all of that kind of thing as well. And then it grew. It just grew. And as it continued to grow, I gave up other positions that I had taken along the way and became full-time in the local landscape snowplow company, which then became a national snow division of it, became a national snow removal company. Mm-hmm. And I moved into director of operations at that point, which was, oh my gosh, it was such a crazy time. There are so many stories from that time. Like,
that was really the beginning of the big snow industry, like the, you know, the real professionalism. Saima was coming on board.
Yeah, I remember the start of Saima. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Jeff Tovar and Charles Glossop and Rick Keir. I mean, all those guys, John Allen. Of course, I work with John Allen, who is the Allen of Allen Rose Consulting. Mm-hmm. But I remember the start of Saima, and I've been moved along with that organization as well. So, yes, when you are starting to set the standard and attempting to raise the bar, you absolutely have to create your own path. We didn't have anyone to follow or model. And it was great vision by all of those people that I feel definitely put the industry on the map as a profession. It changed, you know, I hate that saying, chuck in a truck. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where that came from, but it's just, that's
someone
really
who had funny. A competitor named Chuck.
Apparently.
I was like Daryl, my other brother, Daryl, if you remember that reference.
Yep. It's just, it was such an interesting, exciting, but stressful and draining time. So it was, it was great. It was I learned a lot from that journey.
Was there one moment, I mean, going from, you know, you very quickly were talking about, you know, local landscape company ordering stuff and doing dispatch to, national contracts. Like, that's a huge leap. Was there a moment in time there where you guys just went, oh my gosh, what's happening? Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Was there one contract or was there one memory you have that just stands out to you?
Well, doing the Winter Olympics, probably in Salt Lake City, probably was that moment when I said, oh my gosh, what is happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think before that, it was the thought of just managing multiple sites, just in multiple states. Yeah, it was that moment I said, oh my gosh, you know, how are we going to make this happen? How is this going to look?
Yeah, there's no model for this. Yeah, there's no classes anywhere to teach us how to do this.
Yeah, and we learned, I think one of the, I'll jump ahead a little bit, but one of the things I think as a consultant that I can bring to companies now is reminding them it's okay to change. It's okay to not know exactly where you're going. You still set a goal, you have a vision, and you work toward that. But the key component is you have to realize you have to embrace change and the willingness to, I guess the buzzword still is pivot. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to pivot. Because that's what I spent a good portion of the years doing is we don't know what we're doing, but this is the ultimate goal. Here are the steps we'll take to get there. And you have to analyze and assess along the way.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue into your consulting work. So I do want to talk about Allen Rose Consulting. And the website is allenrose.com. John Allen is Allin Rose.com. And you have a nice bio in there. And I always appreciate it when people have some good, you know, newsy bios and talk about themselves, because I just like to learn about people. And especially if I'm someone I'm going to have a conversation with, it's nice to get to know them a little bit before, you know, you link up with them. But the website says you enjoy running, hiking, and camping with your dog.
Yes.
Is that true? Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. So my getaway is going into nature. I have a small 19-foot camper that I tow along, and Sky and I go on adventures whenever we have the opportunity. I don't travel all that far from the Erie location, but we live in a great area. Allegheny National Forest is about an hour and a half, and there's all kinds of wonderful locations tucked away. So that's my getaway. And I purposely go to places that have no service. So I get away from the cell phone and the computer just to rejuvenate. Running, I love to run. I'm not a hardcore runner anymore. I was at one time where I ran every single day. I've just started getting back to it, actually, because it is still a passion of mine, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. What's missing in there? The running, hiking, camping. What's the guilty pleasure that's not on the website?
Well, I like to eat and cook.
I stumped you. There you go. All right. Who doesn't?
There's a running joke. How do you know who the vegan is in the room? Don't worry, they'll tell you. I'm vegan, exactly. And I'm pretty vocal about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of my free time, not so much lately since COVID, but I've gotten a lot of education in the vegan world and done presentations. I've presented at the, you know, our cancer center and yoga facilities and anywhere that'll allow me to talk about veganism from a health standpoint, animal rescue standpoint, and environmental standpoint as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So now I really want to hear about your consulting work. We've been dancing around this. Tell us about Allen Rose Consulting.
So basically, it's John Allen and myself, and we do consulting work in the snow and ice management industry, obviously. What we bring to the table, as you know, and as I've already mentioned, is years of experience. Being able to work with a company in terms of where do they want to go in terms of growth, or what challenges are they having procedurally, maybe changes to equipment, whatever it is for you. whether it's John and I or any other consultant, I think the world has changed its view on coaches and consultants that it is worthwhile. When you have any coach or consultant that has experience and knowledge, they can really change your learning curve. They can certainly shorten the time that it takes you to get where you want to be. Use those people, use those resources. And that's not even just hiring a consultant, it's Grow the Bench and Snow Fighters. I mean, the presentations and events that you guys have, 5 or 6 throughout the year, they're phenomenal and you need them. You need to be a part of that. You need to be a part of the ongoing education. So that's our consulting side of things. I don't think that there's anything specific that we focus on. It's really what does the business need or where are your struggles? The other thing, you know, if you want to decide about a proposal, are we equipped? Are we ready? It's the next big step. Mm. You know, we can help with that process as well, because that can be very, very scary. That can involve a lot, you know, equipment, capitalization, all those types of situations. So we're happy to help with that as well.
Yes. But, yeah, well, thank you for saying that, because I, you know, there's so many people in our industry who want to, you know, move into a larger business model. You know, they're starting out, they've done well in their own local area, and they want to be the next Tovar. You know, mm-hmm. I want to subcontract everything and make a ton of money. And so how do I get there? What's the strategic plan? How do I do this? What do I need? Do I have enough resources? What do my contracts need to look like? What's the process? Like, you guys have tons of experience, decades and decades of experience doing this. That's what's so valuable. And I, you know, I'll just confirm from my perspective what you were talking about, you know, strategic planning, bringing in consultants, advisors who can help accelerate and help you from making mistakes that you're going to regret. You know, that's just super invaluable. And so, you know, you look around at any high performing person, they have probably multiple coaches. You know, you look at a professional athlete, they have a nutritionist, they have a strength coach, they have a mind and spirit coach, they have a mentor, they have coaches for coaches. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, if you want to be at that level, you know, get used to it, because that's how you get there.
I agreed. And obviously you've been there because you hit all the high points. You already know. And that's the key, is being able to step back from yourself, especially when it's your own business. The business owner thinks they always know best. I just feel like it's great to get an unbiased, fresh set of eyes into any business. It can really change your organization. And then, you know, you get to choose whether what you implement, what you take away from the consulting, but at least you have an option. At least you're aware of it. So that's what we do from the consulting side. We do have another side of business also. And I'll jump into that, which is...
Please do. I'm itching to talk about this.
This is great, because this is where I mentioned earlier that my background actually came together in a very unique way, because mm-hmm. now we also work with attorneys across the United States. The majority of the cases that we look at and evaluate are slip and fall on snow or ice, but we've done other work as well because of our experience and background. So that opens up the opportunity for us to do things other than just slip and fall on snow and ice. But that's the majority of it. Mm-hmm. So my legal background, just from the understanding of what is a deposition, how does that go? What is the process in terms of a complaint being filed? So from the snow and ice management perspective, they'll hear that as a claim, but mm-hmm. it's really a complaint is the legal document. And then there's, you know, discovery and arbitration potentially, and go to trial. So we testify in front of juries. And the way I look at the, we call it expert witness work is really an opportunity to sometimes educate the public about the snow and ice industry. I really don't like it when I hear people say, "Well, it's just clearing a sidewalk. You know, it's not rocket science. How hard can this be?" And people just don't realize it's harder than you think. Are you looking up? Do you know there's an overhang? You know, there will be melt and refreeze that comes off of that drips down and hits a sub-freezing pavement, which creates ice. Did you think about that? Oh, no.
There actually is some science involved.
Yeah, there is some science involved. So, yeah, what product is being used and what's the application rate? So I love that because I feel like it's raising the public awareness of what this industry is all about. And how it's great that you get to go to bed at night and there's little gremlins running all over the place, clearing the snow and ice for you so that when you get up in the morning, you can go to work or you can be safe when you go into whatever retail store you want to get, you know, bread or anything else that you need during an event.
Right. So attorneys are contacting your firm for expert witness on cases for expert witness advice or testimony if it goes to court on specific. What about from a contractor's perspective? How can you come alongside a contractor who learns about a claim? Maybe their insurance company's involved, or they're directly interacting with a person who just, you know, got hurt, or you know, their car got, you know, dinged or whatever it is. Like, how can you support a contractor?
Right. So, yeah, that's a great point. We do work for plaintiff and defense. And the way that we can support the defense, the service provider, the snow and ice contractor, is what is mirrored from what we teach them on the consulting side or what they hopefully learned through Grow the Bench or, you know, any other organization, CIMA, ASCA, about these standards and why you do what you do. So the key component, because once it gets into a claim, is the documentation. If you have a standard protocol, that's fantastic. If you have a written snow response plan or any written plan, that's great. You can have the best training, and I've seen this, you can have the best training, PowerPoint, it's really fabulous. But if you don't have the documentation to show that you trained your people, who you trained, when you trained them, that you've been to the site, that you know the site, you know the nuances of the site, and you've documented when you're there, what the conditions were. It's even as simple as, look, we serviced this location. It's supposed to be closed. We serviced overnight, and there were 3 cars in the parking lot, and we can only service around those cars. Mm-hmm. You know, document that stuff because the next thing you know, there's a slip and fall. Once you know, it may have happened right next to that parked car overnight. Mm-hmm. And right. That makes a significant difference. Mm-hmm. So my key component for helping the service provider always comes down to documentation, pictures. That includes pictures, videos. You know, that's a component that's amazing in the industry now, too, is technology. Mm-hmm. So
there's so much
technology
more.
Technology is phenomenal. There's so much available, but really it's not just using the technology. This is another component of the consulting. One of the biggest tips I recommend, it's great that you check in with an app. I mean, there's so many and they're so fantastic. I actually, within the last year, have sat through a number of software demonstrations so that I could see the differences and what they do and how easy or difficult they are to use. But the key component when you get to the litigation or a claim part is being able to access that data, right? So you took pictures, or the other situation is proprietary. You know, I'm just going to throw this name out there. I think Home Depot is one of them where they have their own app that the service provider must check in through. And that's fantastic. But when a claim comes up, Where is that data for you as the service provider?
And can you get it?
Can you get it? Did you download it? Do you have it? And if you can't, then you need to run your own program, your own software, your own checking process beside it. Because you can say, well, I was there. I checked in on the Home Depot app, but I don't know, Home Depot had a computer glitch. It didn't go through. Even though the provider got paid, we don't have those photos now. We can't help you prove that you were there, even though on top of that, it's a requirement in the contract. So now you really didn't comply with the contract. Technically, it looks like you didn't, and there's no proof. So technology is phenomenal, but you absolutely need to know, how does it fit into your business and how does it protect you and help you provide a safe environment for your client? So a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, but it's all that process management stuff that you were talking about. And that's the hard work of getting your business to that next level of having that understanding of where the risk is, understanding the specific steps you have to take to mitigate that risk and actually get it done. And again, outside consultants can help in that. Walk us through, Lisa, if you wouldn't mind, you know, what is a typical, maybe there's no typical slip and fall, but your typical run of the mill slip and fall where contractor has an insurance company. What's the flow? How does it work? You know, because I, you know, I always hear, oh, you know, my insurance company just settled and they told me they wrote the person a check and oh my gosh, you know, we could have fought that. And so it just, it seems like there's this black hole of knowledge when it comes to like, and it seems like it's early in the process, like decisions were made that maybe the contractor wasn't a part of. And so can you kind of walk us through that a little bit, what that looks like? Because maybe someone can learn from that.
Yeah, sure. So not so much in my day to day, but I push it back onto the service providers to educate your carrier. I mean, educate them when this claim comes up. Don't just let them stroke that check. Talk about it. Talk about what you do in your business. And if they're not willing to listen to you and they're not willing to help you gather that information, you're with the wrong insurance company, right? So from our standpoint, we may be contacted by the insurance carrier. It's always by an attorney at that point. And it's a basic walkthrough of education. It really is. Again, that's where I come back to a lot of the time I look at my job as educating the general public. I have an attorney who doesn't know anything about snow and ice, and we need to educate them in terms of, okay, look, this is all that could have been done. Your service provider did everything possible. They have great records. Don't agree to pay out on this. Like, let's take it the distance because you've got something to work with. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we also get those phone calls where there's no records. Mm-hmm. You would be so surprised. In 2023, there are no records of service. They may not even have a written contract. It just is not the way to do business anymore. And that's why we have organizations like we have, so that you don't have to start from scratch. And
in that case, the insurance company is just going to mitigate they're going to cut their losses. And
yeah, pay a lot of times there's really, truly, there isn't anything that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why it's key, you know, for the service provider to be ready. They have to understand. I know we all get all hyped up when it snows and we get to run our equipment and it's great. You're out in the middle of the night. But the reality is what you're actually doing is mitigating risk. You are creating a safe environment, right? That's the real goal. So that's what you want to prove that you've done. You've done everything you possibly can to make a safe environment.
Well, this is really interesting because, you know, more and more, especially the bigger companies in our industry, they're all talking about risk management and, you know, risk mitigation. And that's what we do. We're emergency service providers and we help you reduce your slip and fall liability. And so they're using all the language. Mm-hmm. I think what they're maybe missing is prove it.
That's right.
Now you got to prove it. Can you prove it? Well, no. Right. So they have it. Right. They have all the right messaging in their marketing, in mm-hmm. their sales process, and mm-hmm. in their mind. That's what they're doing. But if you can't prove it, you're exposed. I think that's the right point you're trying to make.
That's exactly right. And that's interesting. Tell people, you know, even when I'm looking at items, the documentation, I keep coming back to this example of just your documentation should tell a story. And I don't mean tell a story from a standpoint of tell a lie or tell anything that didn't really happen. What I'm saying is there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a beginning of the season. There's the middle of the season where you're actually performing the work. And then there's the end of the season where you close everything out. And I should be able to come in and look at your documentation. Let's just say for an event, say that's the chapter, one chapter of your book. So I should be able to come in and read that chapter and understand exactly what happened for that event. Don't fall into, oh, I'll remember that Billy Bob is whoever, whoever. The other thing, and you'll understand this too, is people forget that unfortunately things happen, right? And today I'm in the business, but what if I'm not there tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What if I'm not the one that is there to remember who Billy Bob is, mm-hmm. right? So that creates another vulnerability and issue for your company. Is it has to be documented in a way that me, who was not there, can walk in and see the story unfold from beginning to end. It's just an easy example to have people basically take a step back when they look at their documentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that framing of it. The book, the chapters in the book, tell me a story.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. What do you do on a daily basis? What does your normal day look like with your role in the company?
Well, some things never change. I still rise very, very early. I'm usually up anywhere between 4 and 5:30 in the morning. I like to get a lot done before the business world actually hits. I think that's still a carryover from the snow plowing days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically it is incoming business. So we talk to each and every attorney that contacts us regarding a case. We don't take every case, every plaintiff or every defense case. And then also reviewing the cases. It's a matter of getting the data. What are our timelines? We're very time driven. Mm-hmm. So anyone who has any knowledge of the court system knows that if there's a deadline, there's a deadline. It's mm-hmm. just the way it is. So that's how we work. As each case deadline comes up, we know what we need to do. We need to review it. We may need to ask for additional documents. That's an entire process in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It could be a deposition. You know, deposition is a question and answer session based on the data that has been provided and reviewed. So that's where the attorneys for all the parties involved get to ask questions and I have to answer them.
Got it. Okay.
We do that.
Okay.
Maybe travel to go to trial. Mm-hmm. And then on the consulting side, that's a lot of emails and phone calls mm-hmm. just to talk through things. I don't have a set day.
Sure, I understand.
It's just like there's no industry. So, totally, you know, every day is a different day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's what keeps you young.
I love it.
Yep. Yep. You're also very involved in, you have been throughout your entire career with all the associations you mentioned, but you're still actively involved. And I think you have something coming up. Can you tell us about that?
I do. Yeah. I actually did Grow the Bench. I did the virtual boot camp. I like doing that. That was great. Always into education. SIMA leadership is fantastic. But I do have the opportunity this year to speak at the SIMA symposium in Hartford, Connecticut. I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'll be talking about, you know, how to avoid claims, you know, how to deal with those claims and how to avoid them potentially, like you said, so that right at the beginning, they can be dismissed, hopefully is the goal, or minimize the payout.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to hear that session. So that's just in a few weeks. That's in June.
Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah. It's I think the symposium is actually like June 13th to 16th or 17th. I'll be speaking on June 7th or June 16th. So that's I better get the date right if I want to be there.
Yeah, start rehearsing. Yeah, but no, that'll be great. So yeah, if you're planning to be at Simon Symposium in Hartford, you know, obviously always a great industry event, and
yes,
hopefully you can make it over and listen to Lisa's presentation.
Thank you.
Kind of the last couple things on my list of questions here. I'm just always interested in hearing your thoughts about just trends in the industry, kind of big macro things that are happening, you know, regarding service delivery, regarding equipment or process or just anything, any kind of snow related big movements or trends.
I think those things would be the same that we've already heard probably, you know. Getting labor, employees in general, retention, you know, Grow the Bench has talked a lot about that. And I think it should have been helpful to those facing those challenges at this time. I also think, as I already mentioned, technology is huge. But again, I still go back to use that technology in the way that the process is trackable. Right, just checking in with GPS on the technology may not be enough. You've got to be able to access that and store that. And you know, one thing I didn't mention, people don't realize these claims and these lawsuits, they may not show up for like 2 years. So again, that's why it's important to be able to tell your story with the documentation, because I don't know, unless you have some super phenomenal memory, you're simply just not going to remember a snow.
Yeah, there's no way.
2 years ago.
What is the statute of limitations for a slip and fall?
2 years.
Is it in most states or all states? In
most states.
Okay.
It varies, but most states, and from what I hear from the attorneys, it's about 2 years.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to remember a slip and fall, an event 2 years ago.
No.
No way.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Especially if it's something like you plow the whole place and there were, like you said, three cars. You're not going to, that was probably never documented ever anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final words. What advice do you have for our listeners?
Listen, I just think, you know, embrace your industry, be the professional. I do think that makes a huge difference. And I will always say documentation. If it's not documented, it didn't happen. That's my theory. So
yeah.
Tell me a story. Tell me a story with your documentation.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. If anyone is interested in hearing more, learning more about their consulting work or regarding, you know, legal services, please reach out to Lisa. What's the best way to contact you, Lisa?
You can just go to the website. I think my email is on there. Lisa@allenrose.com is my email. The website, as you mentioned, is Allen, AllenRose.com. We've got an office phone number. I don't know what our office phone number is.
It's on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. Just get a hold of Jamie. She's our admin extraordinaire and she'll direct you accordingly.
Cool. Well, again, thank you so much, Lisa. And I look forward to seeing you in Hartford just in a few weeks.
Yeah, that'll be great. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity and for your time.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Snow Fighters Institute podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, become a subscriber today so you won't miss any future episodes. Don't forget, please check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com.